Or fire starter.
I wish you guys had computers.
I do, but my wife would have to run it.
Because I guess we gotta get a quorum before we can do anything, huh?
Hey, Mayor.
Hello there, how's Sam?
I'm all right, you?
Good. So we need you on phone, so we have a quorum, so just so you know, because we've only got Lynn and Paul here, Russ had to go to birthday party, and Rhonda is sick.
Oh, all right, sounds good, so.
So I got you on speakerphone, we're just getting ready to start.
Okay.
Okay, we would, are you ready, Jeannie, then? Okay, we'd like to welcome everyone out to our city council meeting tonight, March 28th, 6:30, regular meeting. We're gonna start tonight, I'll lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, followed by Shane's offer the opening prayer.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our kind gracious heavenly fathers, we come to thee here on this beautiful night, we're grateful for all the many blessings and for the beautiful valley and for the moisture which we see throughout this year and throughout these last remaining weeks. And we ask that please continue to bless us with thy safety and guide and watch over us. And please help us as though when the time comes that the snow may come down steadily and that we may not see issues here in our town. And we're grateful for everything that was given us and for all the many blessings and for the leaders of this community and of this nation. We ask that please be with them, God directing them to do that which is right and the best interests of thy citizens and this community. And we're grateful for thee, and we say, see, in Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Okay, we'll start with the roll call.
Lynn.
Here.
Paul.
Here.
Mike.
Here.
Paul, and I'm here. Sam.
Here.
All right, next is approval of claims register dated 3/11 to 3/11 of 2023 to 3/24/23 in the amount of $148,102.38.
I got a question on White Raven. I know that that is for a rental on a Kubota tractor, $7,200.
You mean White Pine?
White Pine, White Peak.
White Peak, yeah.
Yeah.
That's Jack.
I know. I'm just wondering why we have to rent this and why we can't work out something with that skidster.
I don't know what he's using the tractor for.
Cleaning stalls.
There's another stall cleaner from Rick and Tori. Too.
I seen sand in there, but I didn't see a stall cleaner. Maybe I missed it.
Yeah, all that was sand.
I know there was 4 hours of skidster on that. All Jack's got to do is talk to him.
It's okay with you.
Yeah?
Okay. Also, I got with Dave on that water line out there, there was 160 feet of pipe left over, and it was all billed to RDA. That 160 feet that's left over ought to be reimbursed to the RDA, which is right close to $4,000.
Yeah.
questions, I think we're good, so.
Well, I'll make a motion that we approve claims registered dated 3/11/2023 to 3/24/2023 in the amount of $148,102.38.
And I will second it.
Okay, I have a motion by Paul, seconded by Lynn, to approve claim register dated 3/11/2023 to 3/24/23 in the amount of $148,102.38. Roll call.
Lynn?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Sam?
Yes.
All right, next is requisition 32320231202, vendor to Cameron Perry for the four drum wheel puller and wire tension nerve, $10,755.
And I looked at it and we got a really good buy on this as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, we've been trying to pull all the rope off. You've seen the pictures there. There's 6,000 feet of rope on each reel. And so we pull all the rope, we're letting it dry. We have it strung out through our old shop. Four rolls of 6,000 feet. Just the rope alone, $40,000.
Wow.
So we bought that and a tensioner for $10,000. So I thought it was a pretty good deal. The reason it's going to Cameron, because he bought it through his
personal account.
Yeah, his personal account.
Richie Brothers, isn't it? Richie Brothers,
yeah.
Auctions.
And we're just reimbursing them, and then we're going in. So our share is going to be around $4,000. And then we got Ephraim and Spring City going in with us on that. So, and we'll bill them once we get it up and running. Everything's running on it. We're just putting maintenance in it right now.
I'll do like we talked about. Just run it out to them.
Yeah, I thought about doing that, but now I'm like, I don't know. It's much in part just to keep track of that. We'll keep it simple. They pay their share, we'll pay our share. So we'll be done. Yeah.
Okay.
That's good.
Like I said, a new one, if we were to go buy just the new wire and spool all together, you're looking, not, this ain't including the tensioner, you're looking at $180,000. Because we had those quoted last year. So I'm sure they've gone up this year, so. But as you can see, the pictures, they're not bad shape.
So you don't split it into thirds, then, it looks like, between us, Spring City, and right?
Yeah.
Third owners?
Yep.
Okay.
And then if there's any maintenance, you'll split it?
Yeah.
Good. That's a smart move.
The only question I have, Mayor, is there a contract with the other two? On that, I'm sure there is.
Well, I'm working on that right now.
Did you hear Shane? If you don't hear something, say, Sam. He's working on a contract with them.
Okay, that works. I figured there's something probably...
Some type of an agreement or some sort, like you're saying.
It'd be the same kind of contract we have with them on our like stick tester and the infrared camera and stuff like that. So pretty much got the contract all put together. I just got to change a few things, the equipment and the maintenance and stuff. So.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, everybody good with it then?
Yeah,
I think so. Okay, I'll make a motion that we approve request number 32320231202 for the amount of $10,755.
To Cameron.
Oh, to Cameron Perry.
I'll second it.
Okay, the motion by Lynn, seconded by Paul, to approve requisition 32320231202 to Cameron Perry for $10,755 for a four drum wire puller and wire tensioner. Roll call.
Lynn.
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Sam?
Yes.
All right, next is requisition 32120231207. The vendor is Sunbelt Solomon for $4,960, transformer repairs.
So back in February, around the 1st of February, we sent, no, this was December 12, 19, or 22, we sent some transformers off of Sunbelt Solomon to get repaired. Some that's been hit, that's been damaged. I think we, so we sent 12 of them off, and we're getting them all fixed except for three of them, which they were on. They're just going scrap. And so I thought that was pretty good. If we can get repaired units for $5,000, when one transformer alone, brand new, cost $5,000. And here we are getting, you know, all these ones repaired. So.
So we've got four of them.
What's that?
Four of them being repaired.
Oh, we're getting
one, two, three, four, five, six, seven.
Oh, right here.
Eight.
Yeah.
Eight repaired.
Yeah, there's a. Okay.
Eight and four is not yet.
And those other ones were beyond repair. You can buy a brand new unit, but that was like, for this one, like you're paying like $2,300 for this 37 and a half year. So.
Or is there still a quite a wait list on transport?
There is. Yeah, you're looking at close to 32 weeks on a transport. Yeah. Just a single phase. So three phase, you're looking at almost 2 years.
Wow. Well, I make a motion we approve requisition 321-2023-1207 in the amount of $4,960 to Sunbelt Solomon.
I will second that.
We have a motion by Paul, second by Lynn, to approve requisition 321-2023-1207. To Sunbelt Solomon, the transformer repairs, the dollar amount is $4,960. Roll call.
Lynn?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Sam?
Yes.
Okay. All right, I told you, 3 years for a three phase. 2 years for a single phase.
All right, next. Discussion or action on a pending rule regarding annexations and outside city water hookups. We're having a lot of people start to come to us, getting very concerned about people outside the city limits wanting water. So what we'd like to do is put a pending ordinance on there to give us time to see what we're going to do, which would basically freeze up for 6 months to... look at things. And I know talking to the other mayors of the other cities, we're one of the very few cities that will allow outside the city limits water hookups.
Oh yeah, I think
because of until deadlines and everything else. That,
until we see what.
Is that in the buffer zone?
Yeah.
Or is it?
Okay. Yeah, until we see what kind of water we're going to get out of this well and get that plant built. I think we'd be foolish to go too far. And we could look at it again once we get this water line to irrigation line to the cemetery, the park, the school. Is the school going to hook in on
that? Not yet. Motion then, we put a pending order to on.
I'll make the motion there.
Okay. Okay.
I'll second it.
Got Sam making the motion and seconded by Paul that we put a pending ordinance rule regarding annexations and outside the city water hookups. Roll call.
Lynn?
No, I think we've got plenty of water right now, and I think that we've got things going, but.
Yes.
Sam?
Yes.
Okay, next is approval of resolution 2023-04, resolution amending the resolution 2022-15A, resolution establishing power rates.
Okay, this is just doing a little cleanup on our rates. We noticed we had some issues between the two agricultural rates. I think we've got those cleared away now. The one agricultural rate was a time of use, and then the other one is not a time of use. And so we had some issues there. We also, the other thing is that we also added on the monthly public lighting for the light fixtures that we rent out to the customers. We put the lights out. They pay $11 a month, and we maintain it, and so their yard lights. We raise that from $10 up to $11. Other than that, everything else is, nothing's really changed. You guys have any questions?
I don't.
The one thing I do want to point out, we don't have the solar base fee on here. We will be adjusting that because of my time and Natalie's time in dealing with the solar companies and with the customers. So we are going to be raising that base fee, but I figure we can look at that when we do our resolution after the solar study is done, which they should be done next week with that study. So
there's also the talk of upping the deposit and changing the cosigner.
This is a different one that we recommend.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Yeah, this one strictly is just
rates. The rates. Okay. Yep. Yep. Questions?
So the only change we're actually doing is that $11.
Well, we got rate 108, which is an agricultural rate.
Oh, okay.
The base charge is $16 on it, but they only pay that base charge is when they're using the power, and then they get a deal the more power they use. Starts at the 9 cents. And then also rate schedule for public lighting went from $10 to
$11.
So those are the two biggest changes. Everything else was
not much.
Is pretty much is exactly the same what we adopted back in. Is that February?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. We're good with it, right? Okay. I'll make a motion that we adopt the resolution 2022-15, establishing electric power rates.
It's got to start at the first resolution of the 2023-4.
Oh, okay.
Amending that one.
Oh, amending the resolution 22-15, resolution establishing electric power rate.
I'll second it.
Okay, I got the motion by Lynn, seconded by Paul, to approve the resolution 2023-04, resolution amending resolution 2022-15A, resolution establishing power, electrical power rates. Roll call.
Lynn?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Sam?
Yes.
Hey, thank you.
Thanks, Jane.
What's he gonna talk about?
He'll talk about that, I don't think we do that. We just gotta go down that first, the deal. Next is approval of ordinance 2023-01, an ordinance imposing a 1% multiple, multiple transient room tax on all accommodations and services for the city of Mount Pleasant.
So this is, this a tax on your RV and Bs and...
Be the hotel, the...
Hotels,
The trains, any...
Campgrounds.
Campgrounds. Anybody coming into town basically camping or hotel use or anything like that.
That and breakfast.
Yeah, so right now, the only thing is the tax that's on there all goes to the county and the city can do this 1% and get that back, tax on top of what the county is already charged.
This doesn't affect our citizens, it's just...
It's all on people renting motels and Airbnbs and...
Hopefully it will help the citizens.
Yeah, hopefully.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
I'll make a motion, we approve ordinance 2023-01, an ordinance imposing a 1% municipal transient room tax.
I'll second that.
Okay, I have a motion by Paul, seconded by Lynn, to approve ordinance 2023-01, an ordinance imposing a 1% multiple transient room tax on all accommodations and services for the city of Mount Pleasant. Roll call.
Lynn?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Sam?
Yes.
All right, ordinance 2023-02, an ordinance prohibiting the use of tobacco in any form in the city parks, cemetery, recreation areas, or other city properties within Mount Pleasant City.
Well, this, the way that's...
Said there we need to have the vaping in it.
Right, yeah, it doesn't...
I think that's tobacco in any form.
It's a lot of form of tobacco.
It's not a form, so we need to have a, we probably had to reword that to approve it.
Or, yeah, no person shall use any form of tobacco or e-cigarette.
That would be the way to say it.
E-cigarettes, yeah.
In any form. That's what we just have to add, is part of...
Mods and all kinds of form, right? E-cigarette, mods.
So we just have to add that into our ordinance.
So do we need to bring it back?
I think we're all right, we can approve it this way, just as long as we make motion, or, you know, change the wording and vote on it that way.
Mayor?
Yes.
I know this is a public participation, and you can't, in public participation, talk about anything that you have covered in meeting. So can I ask a question about enforcement? And the other question I have is, our understanding was there was some concern with Contoy Arena and enforcing this kind of ordinance, and so the city, I heard rumor that you contracted to that, but then tonight I hear that you're paying still things to help Jack Wilson and the Contoy Arena, so that doesn't sound like contracting to me. I just think this, it seems good in concept, but I think enforcement could be a nightmare, like your own Pepsi days, the Contoy Arena. Can you explain to me, just quickly, how you envision enforcement and what the agreement is with Contoy Arena?
So it will be the same way down the arena, they'll have to abide by it. A lot of it is giving, in my opinion, a lot of it is, so if you're out there, you're out there with your family and somebody's sitting there smoking, you have the right to ask them, please not to smoke there on the public grounds by having this ordinance in place. And enforcement, it's still going to be tough. But it gives, hopefully, it'll be more self-done, is our hope, by saying it's not, you know, it's prohibited on the park grounds, the arena, the cemeteries.
There's going to be signs posted on all the public facilities. And, yeah, enforcement would be tough. Let me read this. This is the ordinance, the enforcement part. It says signs will be posted to notify residents and visitors of tobacco-free policy. The emphasis on enforcing the tobacco-free parks policy is through voluntary compliance. However, any person refusing to comply will be asked to leave the facility. A Class C misdemeanor will be issued for any subsequent offense if it goes that far, you know, so.
Yeah, and to reiterate, it's if they have it on their possession and you see it, they'll be asked to leave, or if you're smoking or vaping, cigarette or e-cigarette on the property, you'll be asked to leave. If you're seen with it around your neck, an e-cigarette in your possession,
and that includes in your personal vehicle. If you're parked in the cemetery in your personal vehicle.
In the park.
I think there's going to be a lot of gray area.
In your personal vehicle.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of gray area, and...
Well, Conjure Arena, for one, they're going to be in their counter-lose, and...
They can't smoke inside the public building anyway. That's already a state law. Huh?
If they're camping down there in the trailers, I guess they can, even though they're parked...
Because it's a personal vehicle, yeah.
Like you said, before, when we were open for open discussion on it, just pre-discussion on it, we were discussing the fact that the main idea of this is to try to keep it away from the children. So inside your personal vehicle, inside your campers or whatever, that's your personal space.
Yes.
And as out in the park area, say we're in the park, and somebody leaves their e-cigarette just on the bench, as you said, there's many found just around the parks from what the complaint was. The kids are picking it up, and you know, that's under the responsibility of the adult, but an ordinance that will get you trespassed from city property is a tough one. Personal vehicles is your personal place, in a trailer, camper, anything like that on the property. That's kind of a tricky one right there in the parking lot of the arena.
What about city sidewalks?
That was my question as well. Yeah.
We're not going to that point right now. It's more the recreational.
It's still an unpleasant property.
Yeah.
And if you're going to put it this way, that's part of the enforcement. Did you guys know this has been brought up before, just 3, maybe 4 years ago, and discussed?
I believe it's already in ordinance.
No, it's not.
If you look.
It was voted down 3 or 4 years ago. Heidi Kelso was part of that one on the city council. It was proposed, and because they were going after grant money, and they had to comply in order to do work over here at the park for grant money.
I remember when I was on the council before, it was an ordinance clear back in the 50s.
Well, as far as and I know, we researched, so we could not find an actual ordinance
it's probably,
made for this.
Probably won't find it, but I know it. Was discussed.
So it creates huge problems. It turns regular people into criminals because smoking cigarettes and vaping is not against the law. And so what you're doing is you will have an enforcement problem. That's, I mean, I'm sorry for interrupting Claudia. She had the floor, so I apologize.
I missed the public participation when you were going to have this. I apologize for that, but since you're passing your resolution or ordinance tonight, I just wanted to.
Well, can I say one more thing of what was discussed back then of how to instead of making an ordinance for the city that police officers are going to have to enforce, is they came to a conclusion that it was better to put out awareness everywhere in the parks. I've been to a lot of these public activities in the park and in the rodeo grounds and the Contoy Arena. 99% of the public are very respectable of people. You do a few signs here and there and saying that we prefer you not to smoke in this area during, you know, these events, and you push an awareness program for the community, and you can avoid putting an ordinance on the books that is going to end up making criminals out of everyday people. Most people will do this unknowingly, but if the signs are posted, it would be very helpful. That's kind of where they left it last time, was deciding that would be a better way to go. If you're going to need to have this because of grant money that you're applying or what needs to get to comply.
No, it's just a group that's come before us wanting to.
Yeah, there's been people come to the city before and want these ordinances and complain about it. And I'm not a smoker. I mean, I'm not advocating this because I am. I'm advocating it because it goes to the core rights of your agency to choose when it's a legal product. And walking down the sidewalk smoking or vaping doesn't hurt anybody. Most people are aware of, if they're in a public area, they won't light up. Some people will, because you still get that small percentage, but I've seen people in the rodeo grounds with people lighting up a cigarette and someone turned, I've been right there, and they turned and said, could you please go smoke that out there and not around where we're at right now? We appreciate that. And they do it immediately. Oh, I'm sorry. And off they go. Anyway, that's my 2 cents worth.
I think we could rewrite it. I agree with him, but I think we could rewrite it to where if there's group activities, reward it somehow where there's group activities, smoking is banned.
And you were saying that it would be voted on, you know, passed tonight, and that doesn't sound like something.
Well, yeah, but we've just got such a big problem. I mean, just be down around the park and stuff. We've got a big problem with the teenagers and stuff out there. And that's what this group has come forth with.
Is it by themselves, is it during these big events that you're talking about?
Well, it's by themselves,
yeah,
most
so
of the time.
That's what I've seen, and so it's not really hurting.
But, well, no, but it's just, you know, I mean, they leave a lot of cigarette butts and stuff
litter,
like that.
Yeah.
I mean, they sit out there on the picnic tables, and you know, they come right from the high school, and that's just a gathering point right there.
Yeah,
and people's got their kids there at the playgrounds and stuff. And that was this group's concern, because we've got a big problem with it. And so we're just trying to take care of that. You know, I have no problem with, you know, somebody going down the sidewalk and smoking. That's the way it is. But I mean, you know, with my grandkids and stuff out there doing things, I don't want them around it.
It's probably real wrong, because where it says all properties.
Yeah.
Well, that's my point, is you can make criminals out of everyday people, because sure enough, when you're looking at it this way, the opposite effect can happen. Someone can be walking down the sidewalk, and they could be mad that because they know they were given a citation over at the park. Next thing you know, they're going to be calling the city and complaining, hey, so-and-so is walking down the sidewalk on city property, and they're smoking. I want you to write a ticket, just like you did to me, so it can backfire.
Well, I think if you read the whole ordinance,
yeah,
some
self,
of that's covered in it.
Yeah.
But the title of the ordinance, I think, is throwing everybody off, because if you read more of it, it's covering more of that. Because it does state that it's mostly at city-sponsored events, mainly like recreation and things like that, that they're trying to prohibit it from being there. It's not stating if you're walking down the sidewalk, you can't do it.
This man, well, he's explaining here what's happening here, is what he's trying to explain is these types of things are kind of walking on a fine line, because if you go over that fine line, you're now a criminal. We don't want that here. I've had personally problems here with being criminalized when I'm not criminal. And it
can backfire. I don't know if this is
it can backfire. That's what I agree with you with that.
You know, on our printout, it just says, or any other city properties, and that's where it becomes, and I don't know if that's the way the actual resolution is written or if it was just on this agenda that way, so.
No, and then.
The title of it, and that's what I'm saying, the title could be changed if that's what's throwing everybody off.
Who will be enforcing the code in the park or cemetery? Who will be enforcing that code?
It would be the police officers.
The police department, right?
Yep.
And that leads to some trouble. That leads to jail time and that. So you make a point.
And actually, this is the Utah code, section 26-38-6 of the Utah code, restricting smoking in outdoor places of public access. Yeah, that leaves it wide open, so I don't know. I personally, I think if it's posted, if like the park, the cemetery, if it's posted, no smoking on these premises, I would have to do it.
But the sidewalk is not posted, so.
Yeah, just.
Public sidewalk.
Yeah, right. I mean, and I, like I say, we've got these people come in and we put this off and pounded it to death.
How are we going to keep the officers from keeping as peaceful as we are?
If we don't do an ordinance, then we can't enforce anything.
Sam, what was you going to say?
Oh, sorry.
I was just going to say on the motion, it makes more sense just to add the posted location versus just a general broad area, because that just covers you where you're posting the signs, and it's where it makes sense to have it be.
And then you're down the enforcement to it, says the emphasis on enforcing this is through voluntary compliance. So they're hoping people will voluntarily comply, but it's not going to go so far that anything other than that has to happen.
And I think that's.
Most people will comply if asked.
Yeah, I think if you just make people aware, I think that's going to take care of most of it, probably 99% of it.
I think we need to get the other city properties out of there, though.
Yeah.
If you go down there, outdoor facilities, it does state certain places. It says playgrounds, splash pad, parks, athletic fields, restrooms, and the cemetery.
So if you do it that way also, will there be an issue when, like, I believe it was Lynn, maybe it was Paul brought up, where if teenagers are over there, of course, I guess depending on age, it's not legal smoking way with certain ages as a teenager in the first place.
Teenagers should be, you have to be
21. But if there's nobody there, well, like you said, that's already enforceable if they're over there doing that when they should be in the first place, because that's against the law if they're a teenager. But if there is people there, and then there's not people there, and someone's smoking in this park and no one's around them, are they still not complying? Are they still in trouble?
Yeah, I'd say so, because they're going to post it that there's no smoking in that area. I mean, that's because they also, yeah, like I say,
willing to enforce that law.
Because, you know, it's like I say, some people care, some people leave cigarette butts and their trash and stuff around, and that's, I mean, we're trying to clean up the park.
It's already a law to litter.
Well, I know we're just trying to make it the best we can for the citizens. That's all we're trying to do.
I struggle leaving the cemetery just a wee little bit, just because I know a lot of people that go out and have the last smoke with so-and-so, where that's part of their cemetery leaving. I hate to say that, but
I like the fuck's coming out here, because it broadened my thoughts about it.
When this was brought up years ago, all these things were discussed, and they had pretty much decided to do a campaign of pushing to not smoke, you know, posting signs to show respect. And I don't think it ever really happened. I don't think anybody ever changed that and went to a forward, you know, of learning to teach respect and to not smoke in the public and around people. And I just think it was talked about and dropped.
I think if we just made them aware this is a tobacco-free park or a tobacco-free ball fields or whatever.
And, you know, it's like you're saying, like the cemetery. I mean, that's fine and dandy. I mean, you know, but the thing of it is, you know, And I've seen plenty of people doing it. And then when they leave cigarettes around other people's graves and stuff, to me, that's disrespectful. And there's plenty of room, right? You know, that's okay if they want to smoke and go right up there in the dirt and have a cigarette or something. There's no problem. I mean, people, I know what people's going through then. But like I say, it's the disrespect to some people's God, and it seems like it's getting worse every day, that people just don't care about things. I mean, you pick up people's trash every day. They right next to a garbage can.
It boils down to what we teach our children, society, of what's respectful and how we should act, and so responsibility.
Kids smoking leads down to the parents, right?
So, and I just feel like we're just trying to make a nice, clean place.
I don't think we would need to do an ordinance or just close these places.
I would make a motion to just close some signs.
Except for in a trailer, except for in a vehicle, except for, or something. It's got to be a guideline that says,
do we need a motion?
You can't do this, but you can.
Yes.
I think we could beat this to death all night. I think we really just need to make a movement on it. One way or the other. I would be more in favor of just moving forward and doing it according to where the signs are posted.
Yeah.
And how do we draw where the signs are going to be posted, though? Again, do we limit it to ballparks?
It would be more of your bigger areas where more people gather, like your park and your recreation areas, like the pool and such.
Yeah.
I really think we ought to put the cemetery in there just for respect. Like I said, I've seen a lot of people. You guys probably seen people out there smoking. And
I know the Barney boy, though. He'd go out there, you know, go out there every day and smoke with his brother.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
But he's down there out there now, so...
Yeah, but a lot of other people that same way.
I've seen signs out there, no dogs allowed. And there are people who are walking their dogs up and down the cemetery roads. So...
Waiting for our new signs.
Yeah, the no dog signs are gone, so.
Oh, no, I think,
yeah.
They're going to be replaced with dog on a leash. So we can have it on a leash.
And pick up the.
That was a year or so.
Back your poop out. Anyway, I.
Mine every time.
Do we need a motion? I heard it.
We're going to have a motion if we're going to accept it, or we're going to have a motion to table it?
I think we'll. Need a motion to table it and talk and just see what we can do about just posting signs and trying to get people aware. I don't know how we could do a motion or an ordinance to. So, anyway, I'll make a motion to table it.
Anybody want to second it?
We're not tabling.
Nice try.
At the very least, you should clean up the language.
That's what I'm thinking too. The all city property on the title is probably wrong.
Yeah.
At least table.
Mayor, I'll make a motion to proceed with the ordinance, changing the wording that instead of all city property, that it'll be at city properties posted.
As posted.
There you go.
As posted?
Yeah.
And I'll second that.
Yeah. That's, yeah.
Okay, so we got to get this, we got it right. An ordinance prohibiting the use of tobacco or e-cigarettes on any city posted property.
That should do it.
Mm-hmm. Would that be the right way?
Sounds good.
Yep.
I have a question. Maybe you need to consult your attorney because this was posted that this was how you were
proposing it, yeah.
And so your general public
doesn't know that now you've changed the wording of this.
They will.
Again, I don't know if we can approve it with that many changes on the original public hearings and everything else.
The resolution will have to be completely read.
Yeah. The ordinance will have to be totally rewrote.
Table it till next time.
So at that rate, if we're going to make that many changes, we're probably going to have to table it.
Yep.
Are you all right with that, Sam, if we table it to get it rewrote?
Yeah, I would just double check with Kevin Daniels on that, make sure everything's good that way.
Okay. So I guess we'll table this. All right, next is ordinance 2023-03, an ordinance adopting a power cost adjustment, or PCA, to all Mount Pleasant City power rates.
Can I have a motion again, a second, and a vote to table?
All right, let's have a vote on table on it. I'll go back, we'll back up a step and say we're gonna, after language discrepancy on ordinance 2023-02, an ordinance prohibiting the use of tobacco in any form of the city park, cemetery, recreation areas, or any city properties within Mount Pleasant City, we're gonna table it.
I'll make the motion, but you never got a second.
I took Sam's, as he was saying on the phone there. Sam, will you second that motion to table it?
Yeah, that's fine.
All right, so I got the table, a motion by Paul to table it, and seconded by Sam. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Thanks, Claudia. All right, now ordinance 2023-03. An ordinance adopting a power cost adjustment, or PCA, to all the Mount Pleasant City power rates.
Well, okay, we've got a lot going on with the power department tonight. Power cost adjustment. The PCA helps manage the fluctuating of increasing and decreasing costs of purchase power. So a customer could see a credit, or they can see additional charge pertaining how it comes out over a 6-month period. The reason I wanted to do a 6-month and not a monthly or 2-monthly, because I didn't want to see it fluctuate so much on the citizen bills. The PCA is not there to make money. It is there just to cover the cost of the actual power that is being purchased through UMass. So as you know, we're seeing higher prices for natural gas, for coal, which is bringing this inflation. Transmission lines, with all these renewable resources coming on, which is good for the most part. The transmission lines do become congested. And so there is the need for, rebuild when it comes to transmission lines and stuff like that. And then pushing everything to be electrical, which is kind of an issue when you don't have the backbone like we've had for so many years, like the coal burning power plants. I know we talked about it in the past with the coal, like with Hunter, that's being curtailed right now because we can't get coal. They're hoping to open Lila Canyon back up, and sort of production comes the first of the year, so hopefully that works to help us out that way. But there is other options we are looking into as UAMPS members to see if we can get coal in some other ways. And so it's a constant battle right now with the way things are going. Everything's going up right now, it seems like. As the wholesale cost of power fluctuates with supply chain, high demand and inflation challenges members are seeing, and will continue to see more frequent power cost adjustments on the electric bills, either as a charge or a credit. So, and that's exactly what a power cost adjustment is. A lot of cities in UAMPS are doing this. Cities in Umpqua are doing this, and throughout the, I was actually doing some research on this, learning more about this. This is going on throughout the whole nation. And so it's a pretty popular thing right now. And I didn't want to bore you with all the mathematics and all the formulas and going to this, but we're working with UFS
on this, and we're messing with Chris Lund. And so he's going to help us for the first, when we first implement this, and to help us keep on top of it. And it's going to be our responsibility as a city, or the power director, to provide him with that information for our hydros, for our bills, for how many kilowatt hours, you know, we produced, how many we bought, all that. And so that's putting a little bit more on what I want to see on my plate, but I want to make sure it's done right, and that we're actually covering those costs, and without putting that huge burden on the citizens. I think we're going to start at maybe, what was it, anywhere from 0.01 cents per kilowatt hour to 0.02, just to slowly start out, just to kind of get our feet wet on every kilowatt hour that's sold. Because if you guys, I know you guys see the bills. Sometimes, some days you're paying 6 cents. The other time you're paying 12 cents per kilowatt hour. And it just depends on the way things are going. We are trying to do, and you asked, we are buying, going out and buying 5-year purchasing on gas to get better deals that way. And we're actually starting to start running Diebold, the gas power plant, as instead of as a peaking plant, we're going to run it as a base load to give us that opportunity, and I think that's going to help us that way. So I did give you guys an explanation. I want Natalie to put something in our news article to kind of explain kind of what it is and what it does. I don't think it needs to be lengthy like this, what I gave, the explanation I gave you guys. But just to give you an idea what we've seen in the last little while, okay, so like Mount Pleasant purchases power from UAMPS, Utah Associated Municipal Power Systems, from several different projects. These sources vary in production method as well as cost per megawatt. We purchased from Hunter at around $65 per megawatt hour. Next is Pleasant Valley Wind at around $25 per megawatt hour. Hydro is around $29.50 per megawatt hour. Horsepeak Wind is around $70 per megawatt hour. And the Neville Natural Gas Plant is around 104 megawatt hours per megawatt hour. But if you go to the next paragraph there, let's purchase that. Let's go skip that one and go to the next one where it says, okay, right now, the market price has increased dramatically the past couple of years. We used to purchase power on the market for around $30 to $40 per megawatt hour during the winter. Lately, the price has been between $100 to $200 per megawatt hour. And that's pertaining on the way the economy is and what's going on there. So quite a jump, and I don't see any relief in, really in sight other than what we're trying to do to relieve, like with NEVO and 5-year purchasing and stuff like that. Summer prices used to be around $50 to $70 per megawatt hour. Lately, they have been going up to $1,100. Per megawatt hour. And so these market prices are higher than we have ever seen, and it does not appear that they will be going down with the push of everything to go electric. So I'm wondering something. I'm all for going green, but let's be smart about it. Let's get some base, because every new renewable out there, either wind or solar, you have to have something to back it up. And that's what we're running into the issues. I think we can learn from France, and that's something we're looking into is UAMPS with the nuclear that they have there.
their prices are around anywhere from $50 to $70 per megawatt hour, and they're nuclear, along with some renewables. And that's an example I think we need to follow, but I think our administration that we have now is trying to push it so fast and so quick that we're really not thinking about it. And so that's where kind of a lot of this comes into play. And I think we need to try to be above the curve to try to stay on top of this. And so, like I said, with working with Chris Lund, he'll help us put together, and if you guys want to see it, we're going to bring it in. I talked to billing, and he's going to get with billing, and we're able to do it. So it's just going to be a separate line on your bill, and that's going to either go up or come down every 6 months, depending on the cost of power. And it's just going to be a pass-through. That's all it is. No revenue is being based on that right now. Just to cover these power projects right now. You guys have any questions?
Anybody in the public have any questions?
No, he's speaking the truth. It's a mess.
It's a mess.
But staying on top of the accuracy that he's talking about and doing the very best you can to watch the numbers and see what we can do to keep the costs covered, but yet the very least burden on the taxpayer is the only way, it's the only route.
I'm hoping to see the event. The things we're doing at UAMPS, we're not going to see them right off the bat, the results. But in the future, I'm hoping to see maybe a credit going towards the customers. If the prices do come down, we are looking into different projects. We are looking into increasing the production on our hydros with the new technology. And so that's things we can continue to look for. I did specify in here, just on our hydros, just so you're aware of, on unit 4 and unit 3, on our hydros, we've saved the city in the last 3 years just running those hydros $676,000, and that's power that we saved by not going out on the market and buying it. And so there is some value to these hydros, and so I think even though that upfront cost is expensive, they pay for it in the long run. And I think we've seen the results of that.
So I do too. When are you going to get the rest of those upgraded, Shane? You guys have talked about that for quite a while. Don't you have two other stills to do?
Right now we're in the, just to kind of put you where we're sitting on that, we're working on our SCADA system. We're getting some quotes right now through iFix and through Eaton. I met with both of those guys, and because right now our SCADA system that controls the city and our substations and our hydros and everything is, we're still running off Windows 7. And so we need an upgrade there. And so I want to make sure that SCADA is up and running and ready to go before we execute the update on the hydros. And so I did meet with Eaton, another group of Eaton guys, on our hydros. And with Corey down in Eaton, the power superintendent down there, Corey and I are looking at trying to work together to kind of put something so we can have a little more local, company come in that we can both share the cost through as we correlate with one another's. What it costs to bring the person in, traveling expenses and all that stuff. So we can both share that burden and split it. I'm trying to work with Corey on that and with Matt on Metacock Hydros and stuff. So we're trying to see what we can do to bring that up to date. But right now we're just working on the quotes. And then I was talking to Shay from Six Counties,
And he says, come June, there could be some grants we could go out and try to look for when it comes to the water pertaining to the hydro to upgrade the sensed offline and actually do some serious work on these hydros. We've got those two older hydros. One's 1913, one's the 1930s. And right now, the one 1913, it's in the shop getting a new wheel on it. And then while I was in the shop, I had to go through it and electrically test it, make sure it was sound that way. Because I noticed we did have a high neutral current on it. And so they said you can get anywhere from another 10 to 15 years out of this, but then you better get it rewound. And then when you get it rewound, you're looking at $400,000. And so that's something we got to put in our budget and start saving for. And so I talked to Dave. So we do have a hydro maintenance line item, but eventually, once we get back on our feet and start seeing, you know, get stable on our finances, I want to start putting some into a hydro reserve to specifically go just towards the hydros. So bring that back and stay on top of that. So.
Okay.
Hey, thank you.
Okay. I'll make the motion that we approve the ordinance of 2023-3, an ordinance that adopts a power cost and adjustment or PCA to all Mount Pleasant power rates.
I'll second it.
Okay, I have a motion by Lynn, seconded by Paul, to approve ordinance 2023-03, an ordinance adopting a power cost adjustment or PCA to all the All Mount Pleasant City power rates. Roll call.
Lynn.
Yes.
Paul.
Yes.
Sam.
Yes.
Public participation. Do you have anything to sign up?
Yeah. No.
Jeff.
Thank you. I had already made my comment. It was about the parks thing. But I wanted to say one more thing about the first thing. I don't know if you can talk about it again. The first item on here was the annexation, possibly moving that for the water for some of the public out there. I just want to give an opinion on that. That was discussed also a few years ago. That's kind of why we have a buffer zone. When we adopted that buffer zone years ago, was we made a choice with the county. I think Claudia was actually the commissioner at that time when we brought those buffer zones around all the surrounding towns and extended them. Because it was a choice between leaving a county or later on annexing that buffer zone into the city limits. And there's advantages and disadvantages to it. There's advantages, you get a larger tax base by moving your city limits out there where, you know, you can have, that helps provide the cost in order to move the things that the city provides for people out there, the sewer and the water and things like that, and power and all that. Power's already out there for most everybody, but it also brings with it a disadvantage of having to up your services, which is very expensive. Sometimes cities can't even afford that, but when it's just a buffer zone, you still have the choice to not take on those burdens and take on those extra costs, of course, but it was still... I guess what I'm saying, it was a fine line when we accepted that buffer zone. And so I was going to recommend, personally, I think most people live out in the county on purpose. They don't really want to be in city limits. There are some that do, that would like it to be, but most people don't want to be in the city limits that I know of. That actually was a survey that was done when they accepted the buffer zone. They didn't want to be in city limits. They wanted to stay in the county. So it makes an easy choice if you have residents wanting services out there and they're not in city limits. They just need to pay for it and pay for it themselves. Or they get told, no, you're outside city limits. You got to take care of yourself. And that's kind of where it had been left, that I remember it. Back in those few years ago, so that's all I wanted to say about that.
Okay, thanks. Council reports. Lynn.
It ain't really got too much, just waiting for snow to melt and be able to start things, and everything's going good to staff, so.
Some pools coming along?
Yeah, that's the bowls, but yeah, they're.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Still there a lot, though.
Yeah. Yeah, they're having at it, so they.
I was told that they were putting water back in today so it can cure. So it's moving on.
Oh, good.
Yeah, they put in with garden hoses.
Oh, really?
Because if we turn on the pumps, the way the pumps would do, it would, how to say this, it would like take the plaster off, but the water has to be in there to cure the plaster.
So I'm not on, I didn't sign in tonight. Can I just ask one little question there?
Sure.
So 5 years is all we got out of the plaster and the heating system. So I'm just curious, what kind of warranty do we have on the work that's being done now? So in 5 years, the taxpayers aren't doing this again. Just a question. Who's overseeing that? So then you can get back and say, why didn't that last?
This new pump, they do have a good warranty.
So we went with the high efficiency boiler, and the heat exchanger now is outside of the boiler. So if the heat exchanger goes, it's replacing the heat exchanger, not the boiler.
I see.
And they claim that we will pay for the new boiler within the first 5 years on what we're going to save on fuel costs. Because it's that much more efficient of a system. Part of the reason the plaster went was when the pool was first put in, it was pellets. The pellets got down on the plaster and that chlorine pellets ate the plaster. You can't put chlorine tablets on anything. They have to be dissolved into the water and then ejected, or you know, it has to be liquid type form, and that's the way we've gone to now. So the plaster is supposed to last 15 to 20 years. The boiler is scheduled 15 to 20 years. So again, the boiler was the bare minimum from what we've been told. Really, it was minimum of what was needed to heat it. And so the boiler has been running just about non-constantly stop. So the new high efficiency one, hopefully this is what we're all being told. Shane.
Say one thing. I think I was talking to Brittany too. I think we need to get a backup on that pump that runs 24/7, just in case, just because leeways are so far out there. And so hopefully we can maybe come up with something to just so that's available, just in case. Because I know we had issues in the past where we had fully wired in. And all that because of when the electrical contractors came in, they didn't have the right connectors, and they got loose and got hot, and so we had to redo those. So I think we're good right now, but just in case, because it runs 24/7.
Yeah, to recirculate that.
And so it would be nice to have something just in case.
Yeah. Anything else, Lynn?
Nope, that's it.
Paul?
Had two people reach out for to volunteer for the flower beds. Cache Valley Bank is going to do the one at the library, and Utah Heritage Credit Union is going to do the one at the cemetery.
Good.
And what about the ones on the ends of town? Didn't we?
They're those annuals, so there should be a little bit we need to do to them, but not much.
Okay. All right. And as far as the royalty for the rodeo, there was 4 girls signed up for it. And so we're going to have 4 girls as the royalty.
Okay.
We're not going to cut anybody out. Okay. And I've had a lot of phone calls on wondering if we're going to fill sandbags, get ready for the runoff. Is there a day or something set aside that, or is the city crews just going to do it, or?
That was what I was going to bring up tonight, too. It was part of my, what kind of a game plan we want to come up with. We got to get something done with the creek. There's way too many trees in it.
Do we want to do we want to go to the state president and see what we can do with church functions? Or?
I know my ward's been hitting me up about what can we do, how can we help, get setbacks. I think we just need to pick some dates and...
Yeah, and
it's got to be soon.
And it's got to be something crucial on how to do it with...
Well, I think, you know, it's like the city crews. I mean, I see no problem with, like, on a stormy day or something, they can't go work. Why they can't take a bucket of sand in and under the shed and start filling sandbags whenever they get it, you know.
Yes, you can, Sam.
That was my HVAC agreement as well tonight. Is Coulter there?
No, he's down in St. George.
Okay, I just wasn't sure. Years ago, there should still be up there, and there should still be a good day.
Yeah, there's, we got...
There should be about 10,000 sandbags up there purchased years ago.
He told...
The only thing I need to know, the other only thing I was curious is what we need to do is have about, is they require at least 6 dump truck loads, if not 8, to be able to fill anything. If they have it up there, the city yard is our central location. Is what we planned here to go. The problem with filling them now is if we don't use them, then they just go up there, then they just kind of throw the money away. But it would be good to have a plan in place. You know, I've got all these certain volunteers and stuff like that to fire that we can communicate with. If we do get flooding, we can call them out as well to help fill sandbags and all that. I think we can implement it pretty well.
I think we can use our new Yupify. Two, to notify people, too, which will be a big help. That new text messaging deal that can go out that quick if we need help immediately.
I know they're working on it because I've talked to Paul Coulter and Gary. They're working on how they're going to do it. We're also having a department head meeting this week to discuss it, to get some, like, our police chief and some of their input on how to deal with things. So we're in the process of working on it.
Jeannie, if you wouldn't mind when you have that meeting, if I'm at work, would you mind just giving me a call and put me on a call with that?
No, that would be fine.
I think the concern is still the creek. You know, that you brought to both Panama, and that isn't volunteers. That's heavy equipment, something. Is National Guard still an option to get the creek beds cleaned out so they can handle them all?
I don't know for sure. I don't know if we can use them until it's too late when it's declared a disaster. That's the sad part there. A few years ago, we had the wards really help, and they've done a great job of cleaning out a lot. I've talked to Shane a little bit about it. If there's some type of winch system we could put on the bridges to winch trees to a certain point and then lift it out with a heavy piece of equipment.
Is that city responsibility or the irrigation?
So I met with the irrigation company. They claim it's ours, but they were supposed to bring me the papers that I have not seen yet.
Okay. Just don't want stuff to be too late.
Yeah.
I have no problem using their equipment to do some work on there. We can use a line truck, the bucket truck, or whatever.
So. And you're right, Mayor. If the city sets a date and enough time ahead, which the stakes... Wards in this community, like you said, I participated in that too. It was amazing what they got cleaned out of there with just by hand. As long as the creek is still running low and they can get down in there, we did an awful lot of cleaning. There was 200 or 300 people that participated on that in just one day. And we got quite a bit done. And back then, George Johansson brought in his backhoe, and I know he did part of it up at the upper part of town.
Yeah.
Did some clean out up there. You know, he volunteered some of his equipment, and
yeah, we set our mini X down in the
creek.
Down in the creek,
the little one.
And was able to maneuver down in there.
Jason Clausen may help with that too if he can get his down in there. He'd probably have. There's quite a few people in this town.
There's a lot of people willing to help. I think we just need to set some dates.
We probably ought to set a date.
Get it to the state.
Yeah.
I think it's got to be soon. Easter weekend probably wouldn't be a good weekend. I don't know.
It might.
It might. You might.
When's the city cleanup?
April 29th.
I think that's going to be too late.
And that might be too late.
Yeah.
I was wondering even about a couple of evenings. I mean, the days are still late enough now, you know, you could go till 8:00, 8:30.
Yeah, 8:00, so yeah.
You could maybe do a Friday and a Saturday combined, all on the same day that everybody knows it's the same weekend, where they could go and help either Friday night and Saturday, one or the other.
Or even a midweek Wednesday, or, you know, I think in a lot of our wards have young men, young women's. I mean, they've offered, type deal again, it's going to be the safety issue, we got to watch for chainsaws and different things, but just even have people help lift stuff out, stuff that will make a world of difference.
Yeah, just clean out big, you know, just little stuff too.
The week after, like 11th, 12th, all that.
I would like to see us try the middle of next week, myself.
4th and 5th and 6th.
At least start to do something, start to get some dates going and really evaluate and have some areas to meet and to go from.
You just need some time to let, when you get it, you know, involved with the wars and stakes, there needs to be time for people to know.
Yeah, and the bad thing about it, we've got conference, general conference this weekend, so there's no announcements over the pulpit.
Unless you just do electronic.
Yeah.
I know that traveling tabernacles in Ephraim next week, that's part of the trouble too, but I think we set a couple of nights and we start going and we get people who we can and we send it out on that Yuppify and just try and put down on social media. I think we need to just establish a meeting place, ask people to bring chainsaws and start at a certain area and go to town and then keep going whatever we can go.
Well, when do you want to do it? You want to do it the 5th, 6th, Wednesday, Thursday?
What's the forest areas in town?
Pardon?
You guys, have you looked at the...
They're all pretty bad.
I know they are, but do you know why that...
No, we got to look at the weather, too, this week.
And I know Mark is going to fly his drone up there and see where we had some bad spots, but I don't know if he's done it yet or not. So
I had my son-in-law start, because when I talked to Mark, and his broke down, so it didn't get done, I know that, but... The other real concern we've got is east of town. From what I'm hearing, there's some culverts that's been put in the creek that's probably not supposed to be there.
Right, there it is.
Show a storm next week, too.
I say we pick a date. We have to cancel, we'll cancel, but I think we've got to pick a date and start and go.
Okay.
For those that's here, what night's the best?
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
I'd say you could do it like Wednesday, Thursday.
Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Thursday, Friday. The wards and the stakes do their activities on those days, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursdays, and so they could just know that could be their...
Yeah.
I can try to get a hold of, I got a skid steer. And I can help get rid of stuff. I can get an older volunteer. Wednesday, if we can get them down into a good spot and get my little, we got a Kubota, I can throw some stuff, move stuff around, pile it up, whatever's going to be done. So,
yeah, at least just get it out of there and then we can come back.
Yeah.
Clean it up.
Let's try Tuesday night then.
Tuesday night.
Tuesday night? Okay.
Yep.
5, 6.
5 o'clock. Because that gives you a few hours.
I'd say we're going to start at 5 or 5:30. Let's go 5:30. Give people time. Most people's going to get up work at 5 o'clock.
Okay, back in April 4th, right?
Yep, April 4th.
Where do you want to meet?
Where's the best place to park? I'm thinking so that if we. I just where it would be the best. Do we want to start on the west end and start? Do we start on 5th West and just work our way through town?
Sure.
What if we meet down there on 4th West and 2nd North, right there east of the hydro plant? and we'll see how many people come, and then we could start some at Fifth West and work our way there, and if there's more, then we can come up the creek further and kind of have somebody coordinate and all that. Does that sound good, Sam?
Yeah, I think it'd be good to meet with our department heads and kind of get everyone on the same page.
We're meeting there Thursday at 3.
Okay. The only other concern I do have is it does make me a little bit nervous as far as there's some ugly trees in there. I wouldn't want anybody just any Joe Bold going in there cutting them down.
Right.
The last thing we need is a tree to fall and somebody to kill them.
Yep. Agreed.
Do you want me to get a hold of Kent and Fairview or whoever, bring some more equipment over or line trucks or?
I say let's try it the first night, see what we can do.
Okay.
And see kind of. Plan on Tuesday and Wednesday night next week.
Okay.
What, Mayor, if you want, what I can do is I can take a day before then, and I'll get me and another guy, and we'll walk up, we'll flag the hazard trees that we don't only want certain people cutting down. We can mark them with maybe some orange lighter or something, and then that way we kind of want to keep them away from those.
Okay. I think, again, we need to get word out to the people along the creek because there will be lots of people in their backyards. and I think we need to really look at some of those places where we can get the heavy equipment in to go up and down the creek banks to establish a lifting out place. So we'll set Tuesday and Wednesday night, meet down there on 4th West, 5:30.
Okay.
Sounds good.
What about you, Paul?
That's all I got.
What do you have, Sam?
That was my main concern, is making sure we had enough sand and making sure those bags were okay if we need to order more. Especially because you want to order them now ahead of time before everybody else does, because years ago, the problem was they started running out of sand bags and then you couldn't get them. So it'd be good to make sure we have enough stock on hand.
So Coulter told me he figured there was 2,000 here and he's got another 2,000 ordered.
Okay.
And he was planning on the sand that's at the cemetery, and then we'd have to bring some more up to the city shop. That would give us two different places where we could fill and distribute out of, rather than all be in one place too.
I was wondering if that would be right there on 400 East. That bare spot right there.
Oh, where the old mill used to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. If we started down there, like at least the creek cleanup for this week and started down there, and if we can get far enough, then we'll send out maybe on the Yappify or that, and we'll send out maybe meet on 4th East or bring some to like even 1st West here and work together and then jump to the next section that way. The reason I'm thinking start on the west is I don't think we'll have as much snow in the creek. Thinking that, you know, west side of town, there's not quite as much snow as the further east we're going to go. We're going to run into more snow and stuff that way in the creek. So.
I'm just thinking that's a place you could put sand or something.
Oh.
Yeah.
So just in case we need to run some sand bags over there to have people fill right there.
I've got a couple people in town that's told me they've got 300 sandbags themselves, but they need sand. But live along the creek, I've had people wanting to buy them out of the city. It's like, and that's going to be the next thing we got to look at is hopefully we get the creek cleaned and then we'll be all right. I think if we get the creek cleaned, we're going to be okay. But again, we got to have priorities where,
yeah.
And we're going to have to address them just as they pop.
Well, you know, I can tell you this, even cleaning the creek, the problem's not going to be, I hate to say what I know, further up the creek, the problem's going to be further up the creek outside the city limits. And that's going to be, that's where it's been a touchy situation for 10 years ago when I was there.
I think we're going to have to try and go all the way to the flood dam. That's going to be a long process.
Everything down in those areas, there's some of them up their homes right there, those are, there's a lot right in there. In reality, if you get a flood, it's going to hit that first and disperse from there.
Yep. Yeah. Anything else then, Sam?
No, that's all I got.
Did he get the, his air compressor all worked up, hooked up and everything?
Shane's asking if you got your air compressor all hooked up.
Yeah, it worked great. Thank you.
One question come up on the new line coming in from the well. Rather than going all the way up to Stewart's Lane and coming across, coming through where we'll have the new road, but Glenn's kind of wanting us to subsidize him somehow. I've got very mixed emotions over this. I'd like to see us pull off that road so we don't have the traffic impact on that small road, because we've already faced the issues down by the wellhead. But I hate doing anything for an easement that we'll soon have.
Yeah.
Mayor, I'm touching on that as well. That brought up a couple other questions I actually did have. Are they using sand to backfill, or are they just pushing rocks in? Because what I could see, I couldn't see any sand down there. It looked like they were just burying any more rocks. And then two, are they using locate wire?
They're supposed to be doing both.
Okay, I haven't seen any sand be hauled in. That's why I'm just curious.
Okay. They're supposed to be putting the locator wire with it.
Is anybody watching them?
Have we got somebody actually overseeing that project and making sure it's being done right?
JUB's there some of the time. I don't know how much.
We try to go look when we can.
Yeah, it's...
I know Coulter sending the guys out to look every now and again, too, and just trying to... Thoughts on this other deal? I'm almost more to the point, this is like we'll fight the traffic.
Yeah, where is he talking? Where does he want to be subsidized?
Because we'll save on the asphalt that we would have to replace. But if we do it, JUB, or not JUB, but CIB, who've got the deal through and stuff, it would probably change some of their deal and everything else, and looking into that a little bit more, it's like, I don't know if it's worth it.
I guess explain to me a little bit more what you mean by he wants to be subsidized.
So what it'd be is we'd be saving the asphalt replacement cost of coming in the Stewart Lane or whatever we're going to call that road. He would like to take part of that to use to buy pipe or something to help him with his subdivision.
Like, what's he talking? How much money is he talking?
The estimate on the paving was $24,000. He's never really said for sure, but he keeps saying, I'd like to be subsidized, something he's never said.
Yeah, I do. I'd have to see some plans. I really don't know where the location where he's talking.
So right now the line's coming up out there by the hospital, up that, or right along beside the other water line.
Coming up by the hospital.
Huh?
By the hospital?
Clear out behind. Yeah. So it's basically on the city limits out there. Coming up, and then it's hitting Stewart's Road and coming into the park.
Okay.
And so the other option is to come up where Glenn's going to put that 200 west and come across that roadway and then turn and go up and along the park then, back to the original route.
So what asphalt is he talking about?
On that Stewart's Road, That's the only thing I could see that would make it nice is for everybody that lives out that road as they're digging to get them in.
Yeah, that would be a mess.
That's the only advantage that really to change the routes.
Don't we have an easement anyway down on that where he's talking, that 200 West?
Not yet, not through him.
Well, if he wants...
I, I think unless we had an easement, it wouldn't be, I think we'd have to have an easement first.
Yeah, we'd have to have the easement.
Right.
But we don't have one there as of right now.
But.
Once he deeds the road over, then it's.
Once he deeds the road, why is he gonna put his water line?
In that road.
Yeah, so.
But what he's saying is it's gonna cost him more money to put his stuff in if we put our water line in, cause he'll have to go underneath it. I just think we go back on, stay on the original plan.
Yeah, cause I.
We get into too many things with the grant and everything else.
Yeah.
Too many gray areas.
Eventually, we're gonna have an easement there. Well, it's gonna be our road and it's gonna be our water line and, but until then, I guess.
Yeah, unless he's willing to just give us the easement through there, I feel like we just stay on the same route.
Yeah.
But I wanted to bring it up, cause he did approach and kind of offered it, but then he wanted something back in replace of it, so.
I would move on with the plan as is with the grant, when it was granted.
Okay. And then the only other thing, Sunrise is hoping to put the water treatment out to bid. There was two things that had to get changed and Carl Larson, had to approve them and he's been on vacation, so hopefully that will be able to go out next week to bid.
Okay.
And I think we've got everything lined up now for the well driller to come back. So that project's moving ahead. We did get grant money to do our irrigation meters. We have till 2026 to get them put in. So, yeah.
You gotta have something to put in at first.
I was asking too much.
But we did get approved through that state grant deal to.
Start with the irrigation company meters first. The great, two big ones that were disabled about 12 or 13 years ago that haven't worked. They're the two main meters. Use that money for those two first.
We have to put them on every residential lot.
Well, and hopefully, Jeff, everything should be separated farm from city with this on their system.
Yeah.
I don't want a meter at my house.
Everybody has to, the new state law. It's gonna be a pain, but.
Only if we change. We don't have to change.
That's all I have.
Well, I'll make a motion to adjourn.
I second it.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, thanks, Sam.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Sam, see ya.
Jeannie, do you have the signed deals, the?
Yes, they're doing it.
Oh. She was just saying.